You're listening to the PGIM India Insights podcast series by PGIM India Asset Management.
Hello, everybody. Ahalya here, keeping you company for a wee little while on PGIM India Insights, brought to you by PGIM India Mutual Fund. Now, here's the thing. I live in Bangalore, in India, and in the past year and a half, whenever I look around in the streets, not only have they become more crowded with people, restaurants, new developments, but they've also been crowded with luxury cars. This luxury car boom is something that we did speak about on the podcast series a few episodes ago. And it's something we're going to be talking about today as well, but not just luxury cars. Luxury goods, jewelry, fancy meals at fancy restaurants, and all the good stuff that increasing disposable income can buy you. That's right. Today, we bring you a conversation about the varying results of an increased disposable income within India and what that means for the future of our economy, and also how it's going to impact various sectors of our economy. So buckle up, because this is a very interesting, relevant and relatable episode.
India's per capita GDP for FY24 is around 3 lakh Indian rupees. And as per a recent study by Goldman Sachs, it is expected that by 2027, we will have around 10 crore population who will be earning approximately 8 lakh Indian rupees. Welcome to PGIM India Insights. You are listening to Ankit Jain, and I have with me Utsav Mehta, Senior Fund Manager of PGIM India Mutual Fund, who will take us through consumer discretionary sector and how bullish we are from a medium to long-term perspective. Hi, Utsav.
Hi, good evening, Ankit.
Before we deep dive into how we expect consumer discretionary to do well from a, you know, medium to long-term perspective, can you just take us through how this whole sector has played out in the last 18 months?
On an aggregate basis, Ankit, I would say that the sector has relatively underperformed, but it is important to point out that sector performance itself may not be the best gauge of underlying performance. Even though we talk about consumer discretionary as one block as a sector, in reality, it has multiple segments which, while vying for the same consumer wallet, have separate dynamics. Right? So you have real estate, you have jewelry, you have building materials, and each have their own underlying cycles of booms and busts that are ongoing simultaneously. So, for instance, if you look at the last 18 months, while the overall sector has underperformed, subsegments such as real estate or jewelry or even hospitality and automotive have been doing really well. On the flip side, barring a couple of odd names, apparels or quick service restaurants have broadly been struggling. This was primarily initially kicked off by rural demand post-COVID, which was weak. And now, to some extent, even urban demand has been beginning to flag off. Typically, this is easy to attribute it to multiple moving macroeconomic indicators such as high inflation or maybe weak income growth. But in reality, in such a complex country like India, it's very hard to sort of zero down on one particular reason that has caused this slowdown and therefore the underlying weak sector performance. That said, however, I think the positive from an investor's perspective is that the valuations in this sector currently don't look as frothy as some of the other parts of the market on a relative basis at the very least.
Sure, Utsav. Yeah, the way luxury houses are getting sold out and making headlines in front of the newspaper, we all can actually see that not everything in consumer discretionary is not doing well. There are some pockets, as you mentioned, jewelry, real estate doing phenomenally well. But, you know, this brings me to the next question, which is which part of the consumer discretionary subsegment, which has actually not done well and you feel it has now bottomed out and should do well from a medium term perspective?
Look, I think bottoming out and the timing of the bottom as such in inverted commas is pretty hard to take. Just as I'd answered earlier, there are so many multiple moving parts, and it's human nature to want to attribute it to some sort of macroeconomic indicator or some macroeconomic switch such as interest rates as a point in time where this recovers. But typically our experience suggests that in a country like India, it's typically very hard to point out to one, two or three specific things that could point out to the point in a V-shaped recovery. Better way to look at this is more on a structural or a medium-term basis, where the core underlying belief should remain that as we move from a country which has an X amount of per capita income to a 2X amount of per capita income over the, let's say, the next 5 or 7 years, the delta in a person's income will be disproportionately applied towards discretionary consumption or savings. We've moved from an era where I think for at least some segment of India, basic needs or access are broadly met. And that is essentially the segment that will start consuming or saving a lot more. To give you examples, you've seen similar consumption booms in countries that have developed very quickly, maybe China, South Korea as examples. Give you another way to look at this, the total number of people with an income level of more than $10,000 in the last 4 or 5 years have grown at around 13% versus, let's say, a percent and a half at best of either working population or the total population growth. So on the whole, you should just keep your head down and believe in that the structural income growth will be reinvested back either in terms of savings or consumer discretionary. And the more critical call here to take is to identify the right subsegments where you believe spending will increase meaningfully and whether the competitive intensity and the economics within that subsegment justify an investment. If you recall, there was a telecom boom all the way from 2003 to 2008, but that does not mean that subsequent to that, all telecom companies made money. The focus should not be only that discretionary itself is a great space, but it's also identify the right subsegment to be invested in.
Yeah, so I can actually, resonate to what you're saying. If I was earning X and if in the next 5 years, if I'm going to make 2X, my roti, kapda, makan, which is the basic necessity which you spoke of, is actually being, taken care. Though I might continue to, upgrade my lifestyle, eat better food, wear better clothes, move to a better house. But yeah, the amount which is going to be saved after that is actually going to go in discretionary spends and savings maybe into financial assets. So I can actually resonate to what you said.
And Ankit, if I may add to that, while demographic dividend is trying to discuss anything consumer discretionary, the reality is that we've actually seen this pan out in front of us over the last 10 to 15 years. I recall when I was a kid, my father used to take me out to eat, like a family event. Eating out was once a month exercise where we used to go to the local restaurant to eat and I used to get a can of Coke. I think I order food out now, let's say 4-5 times a week, if not even groceries. So I think we've already been on this journey, not only us, but even at various income levels, we've upgraded. And what used to be considered as discretionary 10 years ago may be more staple-ish today. So we're going to continue on this journey. This is not some break from the past. It's just that the items that are considered discretionary 10 years ago have changed. And now you're looking at a new set of luxury or aspirational items, which will see a higher growth.
So, that actually brings me to a follow-up question. Would you say that within the same category, premium players have done better?
Definitely, yes. Even if the experience of the last 3 years is to be extrapolated, this is visible across categories. To give you examples, four-wheeler automobiles, you've seen a much faster growth in larger cars versus smaller ones. We've seen this happen in apparels, in footwear, in healthcare, where specific companies which operate at higher price points have seen a lot more demand resilience and maybe even faster growth than some of the more general mass market categories. And this is not, don't mistake this for an urban versus rural divide. It is more a premium versus less than premium divide. If I extrapolate it, maybe to give you other examples, even on the savings side, if I look at data for people making fixed deposits more than 15 lakhs versus people making fixed deposits for less than 15 lakhs, the growth in the 15 lakh plus category has been higher. There has been more growth in the number of credit cards rather than debit cards. So I think across the entire spectrum, you are seeing premium consumption holding itself better and maybe in pockets even growing faster. And we expect this trend to sustain as we go along, even as the gap might sort of narrow and then expand again. And the reason for that is that while it is very easy for us to say that India is still a developing country, and we should actually put the size of India in context. let's say premium consumption attracts only 1% of our population today, right? That's a very, very small number in the entire scheme of things. And let's say with income growth, this number becomes 2%, right? Only 2% of India can actually consume some of these categories that we're talking about. But even at that 2%, you are actually looking at almost 3 crore individuals 5 or 6 years down the line, right? And that number by itself, 3 crore, is actually larger than 140 countries globally. And if I just compare it to the developed countries today, the entire population of developed countries, it would still be in the top 10 somewhere. So by sheer size, this category has become really large and it will continue to grow.
Yeah, you actually, when you look around, people are just upgrading their lifestyle. I mean, you end up seeing more SUVs, more luxury cars getting sold, you know, than what they used to be, you know, 10 years back. So, you know, this again, you know, brings me to another interesting segment, which is we expect that India to grow somewhere around 6.5% to 7.5% maybe for the next few years. So what are the themes or subsegments that you believe can actually grow more than the, you know, the overall GDP growth?
Some of the key themes that we like and we are possibly to some extent invested in and we believe that can surprise positively are luxury retail, out-of-home eating, healthcare and education, and maybe even some pockets like beauty and packaged foods. The same Goldman report that you adhered to earlier also had this very interesting set of data points about what the urban top 10% or the urban rich consumes on a per capita basis versus the rest of the country. You will see that as people's income levels increase, as they move from poorer to mid-income and from mid-income to getting richer, they end up spending disproportionately more on jewelry. They end up spending disproportionately more on healthcare. They end up spending disproportionately more on maybe education and out-of-home eating. That in itself should answer your question as to what we believe can surprise you over the next few years. Underlying this demand, this is not the only way to play it, but underlying to this demand, there are other adjacent segments that could also benefit. One obviously could be financialization. So a further reliance on debt to fuel this consumption could potentially give boost to some lenders within this category. Excess spending or excess savings could lead to boost for the equity markets or for the debt markets or for other financial products. And finally, as industries itself adapt to this newfound demand, a lot of reliance on imported products will start getting indigenized that may spur parts of the manufacturing supply chains. One clear such example that we've seen more recently is electronics manufacturing as an ecosystem. So evidence is already visible and this will just intensify as we go ahead.
Sure. I think when you step out during weekends, you see any restaurants or mall, they're actually running at full capacity. And what you spoke of, electronics manufacturing, I think it is evident. Today, if you buy a Apple phone, it is a made in India product. So I think I can relate to what you're saying. Actually, we've been all talking about all the positives and all the great things which are happening. So tell me, Utsav, how can this story derail or what are the risks to this whole story of consumption?
The core of consumption is income growth. And I think anything that could challenge income growth is what is going to be considered as a major risk. What could potentially challenge income growth in the country? Anemic growth in labor force participation. So you have a working population that may be growing more than 1% a year each year. And if they cannot find growth or if they are unable to join the labor force, that could be a problem. And second, obviously, I think correlated to that would be lack of private investment, because realistically, to create jobs, you need private investments to pick up. I know self-employment has been a major driver historically as well for employment in India, but incrementally, if you want an organized workforce, you need to have private investments taking place. So I think those are more macro drivers which could be challenging over a medium to long term. In the more immediate to near term, potentially negative shocks if there is a clampdown in personal unsecured loans by RBI or weakness in rural demand, these could potentially be risks, at least in the near to medium term, to this entire story. But I think these would just be minor speed bumps rather than mountains that would fall in the way.
So Utsav, if you come across people around you, you know, you will feel maximum people having a home loan or a car loan. Indians are generally, very risk averse. So, I mean, when I come across people, I don't see a lot of debt. So what do you think of this whole RBI working towards getting the unsecured loan of their overall banking sector book down?
Ankit, RBI has been noticing a trend in terms of household debt to GDP going upwards over the last few years. If I recall my statistics correctly, I think we're at the highest point in the last decade, and maybe that's what's concerning them. But at the same point of time, I must contextualize it by saying that we're still at a meaningfully lower number than what the developed or the rest of the developing world average would be, especially in terms of major economies. So we still have a significant headroom to go. I don't think that there is anything that is meaningfully wrong, at least prima facie as that can be seen today. But I think it was more a move in terms of throwing caution to the wind in case there was predatory or balloon-like lending going on.
Sure. I think I'll just, summarize of what we have, discussed for our listeners. So, the first would be, on an aggregate basis, we feel that consumer discretionary has a kind of underperformed in the last 18 months relatively. So that is one. Second, within consumer discretionary, actually not all have underperformed, especially, the likes of jewelry, real estate and hospitality, which has done pretty well. Third, premium players are doing much better within the same sector. For example, more growth is seen in, sales of luxury cars than smaller cars. Fourth, out of home eating, luxury retail, healthcare and education can actually outgrow the overall economy in the next few years. And the risk, the caveat which you spoke of last, anything which, can derail the growth story of India can be, a big risk to the overall, consumer discretionary sector, especially in the short to medium term, though the long-term story remains intact. Also, Utsav, do you want to add something before, we actually end the whole discussion for our listeners?
I think, Ankit, we've broadly summarized the message that we wanted to send out today. India's average per capita GDP is catching up to the rest of the world quite fast. And as that number increases, we believe that a lot of additional income will be diverted towards discretionary spends and savings. And I would not be surprised if in 10 years from now, some of these discretionary companies or consumer discretionary companies would be a meaningful part of the Nifty as an index. So we've gone through multiple phases as an economy. If you recall back in the 90s, textiles used to be a big part of the benchmark, which evolved into oil and gas, which has evolved into financial services today. And I would not be surprised if 10 years from now, consumer companies dominate.
Sure. Thank you, Utsav, for sharing your thoughts on consumer discretionary sector. Thanks everyone for joining us on PGM India Insights. I will catch you on the next podcast soon.
I really loved those insights. It's definitely a fact that is undeniable. India as an economy has been booming. We've been reading headlines about something or the other growing within this country's economy over the past year or two. And it's interesting to track all of the trends, right, that inform this progress. And as both of them brought up in the conversation, it's also very important to keep a track of all of this so that you can prepare for any downsides or possible issues coming up along the way. That's a wrap on this episode of PGM India Insights, brought to you by PGM India Mutual Fund, where we break down certain macroeconomic phenomena to help you inform your investment journeys and keep you on the right track. We'll be back very soon with another episode, but in the meantime, happy investing.
Mutual fund investments are subject to market risks. Read all scheme-related documents carefully.
You're listening to the PGM India Insights podcast series by PGM India Asset Management.